Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
Me, Ben Hobson.
And me, Jane Maguire.
Today we're talking with running coach Tom Craggs about base training. We're all about that base this week.
Insert the jingle here, Rick. Get the guitar.
We could also go Public Enemy on this one. Isn't there? Base. How low can you go? That one, you know. There's all sorts of musical things we could bring to this podcast.
You're right. I'd actually have to be playing a bass guitar, wouldn't I? I feel like it demands that. Or maybe a double bass. A bit jazzy.
It's too much bass.
Boom, 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 boom. Anyway, moving on. Jane, how's your running?
How's my running? It's going okay, actually. I was thinking this morning, actually, still doing the Joy Plan. Has it been a year? I think it's been a year.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Nearly a year. 11 months. 11 months of the Joy Plan. Didn't do any races, did I? But here I am.
Are you enjoying it? Are you enjoying your running more than ever?
Yeah, I think I am. I think I'm doing about 20 miles a week. So I'm not breaking any records, but still getting over the old ankle injury that came in the summer, and just enjoying it. Still running for joy. Still doing faster bits when I want. Still doing a lot of Peloton cycling. You know, just doing exercise I like has been fun. But how about you both?
Lovely.
I think the Joy Plan is possibly our greatest export from this thing.
Yeah, I think it's
the thing that's referenced the most.
I think it's just a plan we should all follow, and maybe I didn't invent it, maybe I copied it from someone, but I think it's worked. I think it's worked.
Yeah, it has. Yeah.
Fantastic. Running's good. Everything's going quite nicely. The forest is looking exceptional with all its autumn colours. And I went running with my neighbour and a couple of mates yesterday. And I did that. I don't know if this happens with you guys when you meet up with people, but if someone else is in charge of the route, your assumption is that they've got like a certain distance in their head that matches yours. And
right.
It turns out that it was much further than that. So I was like, I thought, all right. And Josh was like, oh, Josh is my neighbour. He was like, oh, we're going to go for a run. Do you want to come? I was like, yeah, sure. It's Sunday. We've all got kids and stuff. It'll probably be like a 10K. It's an hour. We're probably going to have, you know, slice out of an hour of the day and go for it. 20K later,
whoa.
We got home. I was just a bit like, oh, that was incredibly lovely. And what a lovely treat that was. I've got to go and do some parenting now. But, you know, it was like, that was the toss up. So, I had a very lovely run yesterday, which was through the forest with some people, which is very nice. I don't really often get out with a group. There's four of us. So it was very nice to just sort of run and chat and do all that sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So it was lovely. Yeah, it was a very nice day.
I think my run has gone backwards slightly.
Okay.
But I'm trying to reach a kind of zen spot with it. So it's my troublesome knee has been amazing this year. And I obviously like did half marathon and all that sort of stuff. And for the first time about 2 weeks ago, I was like, oh, it's starting to hurt a little bit. And then it just got a bit worse. And I was like, I was probably running maybe 5 times a week and not thinking about it being a problem at all. And I think actually what I need to do is be a little more cautious this first year. Go back to like 3 runs a week. I've got a rower indoors. So I think a couple of rows, 3 runs, bit of joy, taking some of the harder stuff out. And I think that's actually how I'm going to have to play it. But I actually don't mind. I kind of think I haven't really got a choice in this. And I quite like variety in a training plan, even when you're training for marathons or longer, more involved things. So I kind of think actually I could try to turn this into an advantage, become a run rower.
Yeah.
The row runner.
I mean, there's a new sport. You like swim run before, Rick. So the run row is now going to be... you run to the Thames, you get in your boat, you row somewhere, you get out and you run again.
I like it.
Perfect, isn't it?
Yeah. It might catch on. Maybe this is the next challenge.
I think in Canada, you have it with like, I think it's called portaging or something, where you carry your kayak across the land and then jump in the water, and it's like a bit of an adventure sport. So
Canadians are all over it.
Yeah.
Canadians are all over it. You think you thought of something new, and then guess what? Canada's done it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I think if you were running with a canoe through London, people would think you'd stolen that.
Mm. Yeah.
It'd have to be a blow-up one. There must be a blow-up one.
Yeah.
I'll look into this.
Look into this. Anyway. Keep us updated, please.
So we were chatting about base training with Tom Craggs this week. So, I mean, my understanding of base training, and there'll be more on this, obviously, is it's a sort of pre-training training program. Mm. So, like, you know, kind of something that hopefully a lot of spring marathon people will be thinking about now. Have you ever done it, Jane, in the marathons that you're training for, like the kind of base training and then getting into the specifics of
a training program? Yeah, I think Lewis did a lot of this, where he was like, the only way you get better at a marathon is being consistent. So people sign up to a race and they think, oh, I've got, it doesn't start for 10, like, I don't need to start training for 6 weeks, and they just do nothing. Whereas actually, if you start from, I guess it doesn't really work with a lot of marathons, does it? Because you don't get in time to even do a base training. But if you do have the joy, like the luxury of doing that, I think it's then not as much of a shock, is it? I think sometimes even like the first week of a marathon training plan, you're like, what the hell is this? And actually, if you've kind of got a bit, I'm not a running coach, but it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
No, I agree. Yeah. Even though it's kind of like the beginner running plans, you're a bit like, oh, if you're going from zero to like three runs, even like 0 to 10 miles, that's quite a shocker for your body, I think.
Yeah.
Rather than if you're like, well, I've been running once or twice a week anyway.
Yeah.
This is more of a kind of like natural step up.
Yeah, but I guess actually you would have time, wouldn't you? Because if you got into London, you would already know by now, and you wouldn't need to start your training plan till January. So start right now. Listen to this podcast and go for a run now. That's what we're telling people, aren't we?
Just a short one though.
Just a small one.
Just a base one.
Do some strength and conditioning, guys. This is the time. This is the time to do it. But Tom's the guy. He knows what he's talking about. So just hold on, hold fire for the rest of this podcast, and then you'll be educated.
Well, should we get him on then?
Oh God, let's do it. Guest of the week, here in the studio. Guest of the week, sometimes on the phone. Could be an athlete, could be a
physio, or a complete unknown. So our guest this week is Tom Craggs, who has a monthly column in Runner's World. He's one of the UK's foremost running coaches. That's true, Tom, isn't it? Everyone thinks that.
I mean, Runner's World have to say it because I'm writing in there every month. But whether anybody else thinks it is at this stage irrelevant. I've been platformed enough to believe my own hype.
So we wanted to talk to you about base training. So it feels like a good time to talk about base training. Maybe people who are going to do a spring marathon have heard the term base training. Maybe they don't know exactly what it means. So could we start by saying, like, what exactly do we mean when we say base training?
Yeah, so it's a term which is thrown about a lot. And like a lot of things in sport generally, unfortunately, it probably means different things to different people.
Right.
And I guess there's a traditional view of what base training means, or like almost like a historical view. And then there's probably a slightly more modern perspective on it. So the historical view would be that it has been tended to be a period of time, often between 6 and 12 weeks, where runners focus purely on lower intensity running, often in slightly higher volumes. So building, and you can do that either by building the length of some of your runs or building the frequency of your runs or whatever. But time spent at lower intensities with less interval training, less tempo running, and really focusing on building what you might call, it's a term we ought to be careful with, but for want of a better term, building an aerobic foundation. So lots of lower intensity running and building the kind of base of your pyramid of your running, of which you then layer on your kind of your more intense training later down the line, would be the sort of traditional view of it. Slightly more modern view of it would be that a lot of those elements are still correct, and that it is a period of training where you're focusing on building the foundations of your training to set up for more specific training later down the line. But that doesn't solely consist of easy running. You know, we mix different intensities in there still. We work on different components of fitness. And so I think the way that we tend to, as coaches, to view base training now is perhaps a little bit more varied than the traditional conception of it. It's not necessarily different to what people did do decades ago. I think people still varied their training back then, but it's more like a lot of the assumptions made on base training, we vary out a little bit more. So it still involves mixed training, different intensities, but it's really about a period that is setting you up for your training later down the line, if that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's probably why it's such an important part of the training cycle, right? Because it's the foundation. That's why the base training is given that time to grow, and you know, you said 6 to 12 weeks, that's why people focus on it for probably a slightly longer block than other elements of the training block.
Yeah, so I guess it's a period of time when you're trying to develop the general components of your fitness, so a broad span of fitness, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
the broad general foundations of your fitness. We then move into periods, as you get closer to your race, of specifying your training. So that means beginning to cut that training down to focus on the bits that are going to help you most with whatever race it is you're building up towards, whether it's a 5K, whether it's a marathon or an ultra, or whatever it is. The base training period is a period where we have a more general view of your training, which is often why it is a good opportunity to kind of go and do lower intensity running. Because you know, you don't have to worry quite as much around, I need to hit X minute per mile for this period of time in order to get a PB. That's not quite your focus. So it gives you the opportunity to do higher volumes of low intensity training. But it is also a period where you might kind of go, well, maybe I need to do some stuff to work on my pure speed or my strength and conditioning or whatever it is as well. So it's the nuts and bolts, I suppose. And you collect together those nuts and bolts, and then you build those nuts and bolts into something sort of substantive in the later training phases. But it's a period where you collect together all those tools, if you like, and start to put more tools in your armory.
If you were going to look at it in terms of, say, marathon training, Tom, which is probably something that people might be thinking about starting, say, their spring marathon program mid-December or early January. What does base training look like in those terms? And is it actually markedly different to the start of, say, a marathon program? Or actually, we're talking about things that are broadly similar?
I think there's a lot of crossover. Although I do think it depends on your level of experience as a runner. Yeah. And often we often talk about this and kind of go, what base training might look like for a slightly more performance-focused runner might be a little bit different from somebody tackling their first marathon and they're just trying to get round.
Yeah.
So if you are more at that sort of performance end and you're thinking, well, in April, I want to be running whatever time for the marathon, you have a specific time goal in mind.
Yeah.
The foundation periods of your training right now might not include huge amounts of running around that goal race pace, but they are, you have a long-term view where you kind of go, well, the kind of endurance aspects of my training and the speed aspects of my training, I'm carving out the fundamentals now. So that might mean, you know, you're doing hill sprints or you're doing strides, you're doing stuff that is actually quite quick, and you're doing combining that with a lot of easy and steady running. Then as you get closer to your race, you're doing more and more of that time spent running at your goal race pace, if that makes sense. So it's those converging lines we've talked about in the past, and your base period, those key aspects of your training might be quite varied, and as you get closer, particularly with the marathon, your training paces might be a little bit less varied and much more focused down on what you want to do on race day. I think if you're a bit newer to running and you're running your first marathon and you're just looking to get round, there wouldn't be quite as much, there might not be quite as much variety of stimulus. Probably your base period of your, or your like setup period before marathon training is probably just a case of getting used to a bit more time on feet. And you can worry about getting faster as you move through your training a bit. But what you're trying to do is, you know, I always used to say this for somebody tackling their first marathon, let's say you're running a marathon for charity in London in April next year, really trying to get yourself into place by Christmas or turn of the year where you're able to tackle perhaps 10 miles in a long run could be a really good place to go. It doesn't really matter what that 10 miles looks like. It might be very, very slow, but it's just, it's conditioning your body to just get used to more time on feet. So there's a bit of subtlety and a bit of difference depending on the level of running you're at. And I think the more experienced you get, the more diverse that foundation period probably is.
Is there a sort of a historical, lineage to where this base training idea comes from? Is it something that was adopted early in just general? Does it stem from like physiological like necessity, or is it actually a sort of a training format that someone has pioneered?
Yeah, I mean a bit of both. I mean, there's definitely kind of physiological logic to it.
Yeah,
in a sense of. But both from a fitness point of view, ultimately for the majority of races that most runners are going to be tackling, they are primarily relying on a strong aerobic system. So the ability to go and run consistently and frequently at lower intensities is very beneficial. So there is a like sound logic to it, and actually you can do all the interval and high intensity sessions in the world, but if you can't plug together those intervals in a sustained way to kind of see you through a long period of running, whether it's 10k, whether it's 26.2 miles, whatever it is, all of the interval work and speed work in the world isn't going to help you. So there's this kind of sound, I guess, physiological principles to it. But I think the concept of like base training and like a pyramid of training, if you like, where you build the foundations and then you layer on the more specific or more intense periods on top, the concept's been around a long time, but probably most famously, Lydiard would be the coach who's kind of best known for those principles of build the foundations and then get more specific as you go through. We might do, you know, the traditional or the way that a lot of people have thought about the kind of Lydiard, who was a very well-known coach in the 60s and 70s. The way that a lot of people have approached Lydiard training is not necessarily the way that he did it as a coach himself, if that makes sense, which is why we often ended up with people going, well, I'm base training, so I'm just going to do a lot of very easy and lower intensity running. That's not actually quite what Lydiard did, but regardless, the principles were very much in his narrative, which is you've got this pyramid of training and that bottom bit of the pyramid is an absolutely essential, and without that, all of the quality work, that's probably a bad term to use, but all of the intense work that you do later down the line is built on really shaky foundations. So get the foundations. They are the thing that will provide, you know, 80%, 90% of the fitness you need for a marathon and 80, 90% of the fitness you need for a 5K come from those foundations. And then we sharpen it up with the top of the pyramid later on. So there are some sound physiological principles, yes, but in terms of the structure of training and almost the periodization of training, as we'd call it, pretty much stems from Lydiard and a lot of Lydiard's thinking. And it's been developed by other coaches and it's been refined and it's been developed. But if you want to understand the basis of it, definitely go and read some of Lydiard's stuff. Apply it to your life and make it specific to you in a modern world. But yeah, it's always a good starting point, I think.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello? Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I really like the idea of base training, Tom. I don't know if you agree with this, but I think there's lots of kind of four-month marathon training programs. And they can just, if you haven't done a lot of running, so you're literally going into a marathon cold.
Yeah.
After two or three weeks, your body can be doing something or being asked to do something that's so sort of alien to it that the chances of injury, I think, become extremely high without something like base training. And I think that when people talk about marathon training, we should be talking about, if you're new to it, kind of 6 months and at least, you know, like a month and a half of that being base training. Would you subscribe to that?
Yeah, and I think one of the things we always have to be careful of as runners, and I say this as somebody who's written, you know, countless 12, 14, 16 week training plans in a build up to marathons, the thing is, it's not actually a long period of time to train for running 26.2 yeah. miles fast. And so what ends up happening is if you're following a 16-week training plan and definitely a 12 to 14-week training plan, pretty much every week the training progresses, gets a little bit harder. You know, things are pushing along every week. And that's actually really intense for your body, a really intense process for your body to go through. Generally, bodies don't work in an entirely linear progression like that. So always being careful when you're looking at a generic training plan to understand that if you're going to follow something that sees you training get a little bit harder in almost like a linear fashion for 12, 14, 16 weeks, probably in order for your body to hold together, you need something to set up to do that. You need a foundation of training that isn't quite as kind of linear. It's a difficult one because from a coaching point of view, just whacking a foundation period of training plan into a magazine doesn't tend to, it's not quite as appealing
people,
for
is
people.
It?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I would work off the assumption that whenever you see a training plan like that, most of us who have written them are working off the basis you have a foundation of training in place before you even start that process. Of course, there are some training plans that are literally written for beginners, you know, that guide you through, look, let's just get you around a marathon. You've got 16 weeks, you're starting from scratch, we'll get you around, often as a mix of running and walking. But if you don't have that foundation in place, don't assume that those training plans will work for you. And don't assume that you can shortcut that foundation. You're better, I would say, to do less specific training and still do the foundation period, if that makes sense. And even if it means you only get 8 to 10 weeks of like more specific marathon training, you're better to go through the process of patiently building and allowing your body to absorb like lower intensity running, you know, strides, hills, some strength work, whatever your base training looks like. If you shortcut it, there probably is a slightly higher risk of injury, but you're also, you know, missing some of the fundamental elements of what it takes to run a good marathon, ultimately, which is higher volumes of lower intensity running.
Is there a crossover then, Tom, do you think, between in that base, when you're building that base up, it not having to be completely running centric, and you can make it, as you say, less linear, so you're sort of, obviously you're needing to condition your body for running, but can the base period actually contain cross training and other cardio based things?
Yeah, and it's really important, isn't it, that and I think one of the dangers with, because most runners enjoy racing and they like to race, The problem is, like most people have always got a race just around the corner that they feel is important to them. So they never allow the time to do the sorts of training that work well in a foundation period of training and a base period of training, because it does involve doing stuff that might not be as easy to do when you're 6 weeks out from marathon, 4 weeks out from marathon. And that would be not only cross training, so getting on the bike, getting in the pool, getting on an elliptical machine, but also your strength and conditioning, your drills. You know, is there masses of value in doing high intensity hill sprints in your kind of really specific period before the marathon? Well, not really. I mean, there's some value in it, but it's not particularly specific to the marathon, but it's still really important for your long-term development. So where do you do it? You know, if you don't allow the time to build those nuts and bolts, and you're always in some kind of specific period of training for an event, one event or another, you never get the chance to do those. So it's no wonder that runners feel like they don't have enough time to do their strength and conditioning or cross training, because they don't allow the time. So you're absolutely right. It's a period where less specific periods of training, which jumping on an elliptical is obviously less specific to a marathon than going out for a run, but it still can be a critical way that you can build training volumes. So yes, more variety definitely is one. It's a funny one to say more variety in a base period, because often people think of it almost being less variety. You know, they think of it being just loads of easy, low intensity training, but more variety in the training modalities you can use, if that makes sense. Yeah, because you don't need to be quite as specific. So you definitely get in the pool, enjoy, and have a mental, but it's a period for a mental break as well, isn't it? And you can still, obviously you're still working your heart and lungs and muscles and what have you when you're cross training, and the same with strength and conditioning. So
I always found that those base periods were also kind of like skill acquisition was quite a key part of that.
And that's one of the things when I have sort of, you know, I guess dedicated foundation periods of training, we'd be doing a lot of stuff like running drills, mixed running and strength and conditioning sessions, very short hills, you know, like 8, 10, 12 second hills that are really focused on almost, as you say, almost like the neurological aspects of like fast twitch muscle fiber engagement and all of that sort of stuff that we then can kind of extend into more traditional running sessions later down the line. But you've got the space to do them. Whereas if you've done, let's say you've done 30Ks worth of hard running at the weekend, expecting yourself to go out on a Tuesday and hit really high intensity genuine sprinting uphill is a really difficult thing to do, because you're still carrying fatigue from the weekend. So it's a period where because you're fatigued, you're not as fatigued from the specific, the really big, challenging specific sessions. It allows you to kind of go and do other aspects that require an awful lot of like neurological kind of stimulus and everything else, and do them really well, if that makes sense. So drills, plyometrics, hill sprints that require that kind of zip and pop and speed is really difficult when you're fatigued from big long runs or big long sessions or whatever. So again, you're absolutely right. It's a great opportunity to work on that stuff. And similarly with the strength and conditioning, however you do it. Obviously some people would do it depends on you as an individual person what your strength and conditioning looks like, but it's certainly a good opportunity to, if it's something you want to do and is right for you, to lift a little bit heavier, for example, to work on some more kind of explosive movement patterns and whatever with your strength and conditioning, because again you're not carrying that the same level of muscular and kind of neurological fatigue from the remainder of your training.
Yeah. In your experience, Tom, is there a certain type of runner who's particularly bad at kind of buying into base training? Who might be like, no, that sounds really dull. What's going to be the benefit of me jogging around for a month or so? Or what would you say to those runners?
Yeah, I think a lot of us, and myself included, and yes. I think often what the difficult I think the difficult thing is we are very often sort of quite short-term goal motivated. And obviously in running, a lot of people set their goals framed around racing, and specific races, whether it's I want to complete this race or I want to run a PB at this distance, and you're trying to cram everything in. So let's say you're looking at a 12-month window and you're trying to cram stuff in. It actually gets quite difficult. You want to do, let's say you want to do 2 marathons a year, but you also want a PB at 5K, 10K. Maybe you want to do a bit of cross country or whatever. It's an awful lot to fit in a year, and we're not good as runners at making sacrifices and kind of going, no, actually, I have to. If I want to do the best I possibly can or develop myself physically as much as I can, I have to make sacrifices. The best runners in the world do it all the time. They have to. You can't do everything. You can't be good at everything all the time. So I think a lot of it is about reframing goals. And we've talked about this before, and I know it is a cliche, and it's a cliche I use a lot, but it is a period where you do have to be a bit more focused on goals that are about the process of training, because you won't see immediate results necessarily from doing this. It's not quite as if you suddenly drop in a load of interval training into your training plan, you will probably notice some reasonably quick gains in terms of fitness if your body's ready to do it. With this, there is a bit more kind of faith required, and some people might even feel like they're losing fitness, and that scares people. I've gone for a period of like been doing these long runs, or I've been doing these kind of big interval training sessions with my local club or whatever it is, and now all of a sudden I'm doing something quite different and I'm not doing that. It feels like you're going easy on yourself, or you've backed off, and it isn't quite like that. It's because we get really stuck in these short term sort of periods. Endurance, you know, really to get in all the stuff you want to get in, you might be looking at a year, 2 years, 3 years of planning. And when you start to look at it over a longer term, then making a sacrifice of, you know, 6, 12, 18 weeks, whatever it is a sacrifice worth paying. It's only when you get really stuck into, right, next. Oh, I'm fit now, so I want to go and get another PB here and here, and I'll maximise. I was actually chatting to a runner at the weekend about this, and she's just come off the back of a marathon where she ran a brilliant PB, and now she's dropped in a load of more races, and she's got a load more PBs, and I'm kind of going, well, look, at some point, you need to stop. You need to stop, absorb everything you've done, almost lose a little, not almost, detrain a little bit, or at least give your body some adaptive time, and then build the foundations. And you'll do be doing that from a higher level, a higher base than you were last year. But yes, there will be some sacrifices. You will come back to running feeling a little bit rusty. The first interval session back will feel pretty rough, but you'll get back into it. And the idea is we go through these cycles where we're building up each time we go through this block, but that doesn't mean it's a this linear process. And I think sometimes people find that really difficult. A step back to go 2 steps forwards. It feels like, you know,
it's a leap of faith, isn't it? In some senses. Yeah.
If we're talking longevity,
it is.
If we're talking like longevity with running and people sort of pitching it, you know, wanting to have long careers where they are achieving goals that they want and not sort of falling foul of injury or any of those things, I feel like that the base is the bit that they need is the most crucial to longevity, right? Like that's kind of the area where, as you say, the sacrifice is made for the future, for future you, when it comes to running.
Yeah, I think so, because, you know, the stresses of, you know, a typical sort of Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday kind of interval training program or whatever are over time will eventually start to plateau doing that anyway, even if you do survive it injury free, because ultimately the body needs a variety of different stimulus and different sort of training approaches. But I think just generally from a healthy training point of view, you need those periods of backing off in some areas. You might be pushing on in other areas, but backing off in some areas, and I think some of that is mental as well, of just maintaining the passion and love for it. And yeah, absolutely, physically, ultimately, most people, you're going to run PBs from several years worth of sustained training, not just 16 weeks of really good training. Yes, you can move your fitness along, but that's not where your best PB, your lifetime PBs will be set. That will come from a long period of training, a good block of years plugged together. And when you're looking at in that length of time, these base training periods are really key in plugging all that stuff together, both absorbing your higher intensity, more race specific stuff, and then laying down, you know, new muscle fibers and tissues and kind of healthy lower intensity periods to then push again. It's that kind of push back off sort of flow with training that most of us, we just push. We push, we break, we get frustrated, and then we build back up after breaking and we're straight back into the intensity again, and then we break again, and it's you're chasing stuff the whole time, and it's a bit of a zen sort of thing, but it is a period where you're not going to be chasing stuff as much. You know, you're going to be embracing the kind of slow burn, I suppose, of fitness.
So if anyone had a race coming up within what should be, say, a base training period, say someone's got a spring marathon, but actually they've also got a race that's in like early December, how do you sort of marry those two?
Yeah, and I think it is really important from what we were just saying around, you know, people being goal driven, and you don't want to take away everybody's opportunity to enjoy racing and to be around other people, you know, because often it's those more intense moments, whether it's races or interval sessions or whatever, where people get to socialise with running. And yeah, obviously you need to be really careful about not just removing all of that. Look, the odd race is not going to fundamentally damage your base training period. And one of the myths about base training is that as soon as you go beyond a certain level of intensity, you're suddenly losing all the benefits. And it's not true. It's not how bodies work. So A, you can afford you can still afford to do some higher intensity races. This is what the majority of your training looks like that is important. But you might also just kind of think about, well, maybe you could use the races a little bit differently. So maybe you could specifically go out and run those races at a slightly lower intensity. You could pay somebody else. You could go and run a 10K at more of a marathon intensity, or whatever it is. You know, like you can mix things up. And again, you know, base training looks different for different people, because it depends on what you're going to be doing in your goal race, obviously. But I don't feel like you need to cut out all racing and all intensity. But it's thinking about, you know, this block of time, what are your overall objectives? And anything that's really getting in the way of that, which is, you know, maybe you're banging out a 10K every other week, or, you know, you got a couple of 10Ks, a few half marathons, and you suddenly start to worry about getting PBs in them, all of a sudden it's not a base training period anymore. So by all means, go and race your 10K, your half marathon, but set realistic expectations for the training phase you're in, and then you won't get tempted to go and batter it or be really hard on yourself or drop in training that you maybe isn't best placed at this time of year. So still race, but set sensible expectations based upon what you're trying to get out of this period, I would say.
Great. Tom, thanks very much for coming on the Runner's World podcast again. Great to hear you talk about base training. And I'm sure we'll have you back on again soon if you'll come back on.
Absolutely. You know, I always love it. It's always good to chat to you guys. And thanks very much for having me.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runner's World podcast. Thanks very much to our guest, Tom Craggs, and to you, of course, for listening.
You can subscribe to 3 issues of Runner's World for just £5. Head to hearstmagazines.co.uk/Runner's World podcast to get this exclusive listener offer.
And you can listen to the Runner's World UK podcast on Acast, iTunes, all your favourite podcast apps. Just search Runner's World UK and please do subscribe. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.